And so we can see that Solomon was one of the wisest men who ever lived. You can see his reputation here. He was wiser than all men. His fame was in all nations around about. There came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. So what a reputation he had. Chapter 3 and verse 12 says, where the Lord said to him, "Behold, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like you before you, neither after you shall any arise like to you." So no one up until the life of Solomon, and no one after the life of Solomon, there was none like him in his wisdom, except of course the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is greater than Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And again, we can look down these verses and we can apply them to Christ and to see how he is greater than Solomon. First of all, we see in these verses his sayings, Solomon's sayings, in verse 32. And he spoke 3,000 proverbs. Now, we have one of his books in the Old Testament known as the Book of Proverbs. But there are only 915 verses in the Book of Proverbs, in the 31 chapters. 915 verses. And even then, we cannot say that that is 915 proverbs, because there are some proverbs that take up two verses. And yet he spoke 3,000 proverbs. And even then, all the proverbs in the Book of Proverbs are not the sayings of Solomon, they're the sayings of others. And so the number is reducing, whatever way you look at it. So what we have in the Book of Proverbs certainly is nowhere near the figure that's given here, 3,000 proverbs. There are many other sayings of Solomon that we just do not have in the Bible and that we will never know. 3,000 proverbs. A proverb is defined as a wise saying providing guidance. And one has said that Proverbs is a collection of lamps. Lamps that do for your heart what the lamps in your house do for your eyes. They chase away the darkness. Reading Proverbs turns on the lamps in the dark corners of life. They're those little pithy sayings that stick. They're not long or complicated or hard to memorize, but they're short, pithy sayings. And there are many proverbs that we could quote that we just know. And so he was famous for his sayings. He was famous for his songs. As well as writing 3,000 proverbs, his songs were 1,005. 1,005 songs. And yet again, one of his books is a song. The Song of Solomon. Chapter 1, verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon. And again we see in that book that lovely relationship between God and his people. Now of course there is another interpretation where those who strictly look at that book as a book of romance as a book for married couples. But my argument against that is, what if a Christian is not married? What good then is the Book of Solomon to do for them? And so we cannot say to a Christian who is not married, you know, you may be able to glean and apply from 65 books of the Bible, but there's one really that's not suitable for you, and that is the Song of Solomon. I like to think that all books of the Bible are applicable to every believer, whether married or not. But the view that comes across of the Song of Solomon, and we have the likes of C.H. Spurgeon and Robert Murray McShane, who have all preached extensively from the Song of Solomon, looking at it from that allegorical point of view, that it's a relationship between God and his people, between Christ and his people, between the bridegroom and the bride. Christ's love for his people and his people's love for him. And so we see his sayings and we see his songs, and we see in verse 33 his studies. He spoke of trees. He spoke of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. If you were living at that time and you were in a conversation with Solomon, you know, there wouldn't have been a subject that he wouldn't have known much about. And to give them just those technical terms, he spoke of trees. He was a botanist. He spoke of beasts or animals. He was a zoologist. He spoke of fowl, of birds. He was an ornithologist. Of creeping things, he was an entomologist. He spoke of fish. He was an ichthyologist. So there's gists for absolutely everything that you can think of. There's some study thing. And these, as we'll see in a moment or two, they are everyday parables all around us where God can teach us things from these things. These are the all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little tree that opens, or each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings. He made their glowing colours, he made their tiny wings. And when you're a believer, you know, your eyes are opened, and he gave us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty, who has made all things well. Because God has given us two great books, nature and scripture. And he is wisest, one has said, who reads both. And the world book and the word book as two volumes of the same work. And feels concerning them, my father wrote them both. And from Solomon's three books, from Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and from the Song of Solomon, we can see where he spoke about these things and where he applied spiritual lessons from them, from trees. And he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. See what he wrote in the Song of Solomon. And chapter 5 and verse 16. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, accident as the cedars. And this is in the context of verses 10 to 16, where the daughters of Jerusalem have said in verse 9, what is your beloved more than another beloved? Oh, first among women, what is your beloved more than another beloved that you should so charge us to go and look for him? What's so special about the one that you love? Sure, is he not just like anybody else? And then she begins to describe him from verse 10. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, and so on. And this is one of the descriptions of him. His countenance is as Lebanon, tall and stately as Lebanon. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And instead of those daughters saying, what's so special about him? They say in chapter 6 and verse 1, where is your beloved gone? O first among women, where is your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you? We want to know him too. You've described him so beautifully to us. We want to meet him. We want to know him. And you know, whenever we present the Lord Jesus Christ like that to the world, this is my beloved, this is my friend. Don't you want others to say, well, I want to know him too. This one that you love so much. The wood of Lebanon was a fragrant wood. It was the very best of wood. But it was a fragrant wood. And the Lord Jesus, Paul talks about in First or Second Corinthians, the fragrance of Christ. The fragrance of Christ. He spoke of trees, and he spoke of animals. In Proverbs 21 and verse 31, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. And Solomon was simply saying that safety is not in carnal weapons. We are not to trust in those things. We are to trust in the Lord at all times. Chapter 26 and verse 3 of Proverbs, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey. See how he spoke of animals. And a rod for the fool's back. And as there are certain animals that need discipline and brought under control, so do certain people. So do certain people. Solomon spoke of animals, of beasts. Chapter 28 and verse 1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Because their only fear is the fear of God. And Solomon said another thing in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Again, giving us a lesson that it doesn't take very much to destroy much. Little things, little sins can take you to hell as well as big sins, as those major serious sins. Just those little things. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's the wee things. Last week I was preaching in Portadown, and I preached from Hebrews 12 that we are to run the race as we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sins which do so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Those sins which so easily beset us, those little niggly things. And it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Little things. Little things. Do not despise the day of small things. Small things can do as much damage as large things. So we can see when he spoke of trees and of beasts, he was applying these lessons. He spoke of fowl, of birds. The Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 17, the first seven chapters or so, it seems that Solomon is instructing the young. And verse 17 says, "Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." And the context is verses 8 to 19. "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head, and chains about your neck." And then it goes on to say about the company that one keeps. "If sinners entice you, consent not. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause.' Cast in your lot among us," verse 14. "Let us all have one purse. We'll share the spoil. My son, walk not in the path or in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." And then, "Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." The bird that's going to be caught in a trap. So, avoiding bad advice and bad company. And also in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 20, he said this: "Do not curse the king. No, not in your thought. Do not curse the rich in your bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter." That's where the wee saying comes from. "Oh, a wee bird told me. A wee bird told me." There's people out in the street will use that. And yet they're saying something that's biblical. You know, what an opportunity to say to somebody, to say that to you. Do you know that what you've just said is from the Bible? Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 20. "For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter." Careful use of the tongue suggested here. He spoke of trees and of beasts and of birds. And he spoke of creeping things. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. "Go to the ant." Creeping thing. A little ant. "Go to the ant, you sluggard." Sluggard being a lazy person. "Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. And then that little ant will hibernate during the winter. But it has stored up food supplies. It has prepared for the future. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as one that travels, and your want as an armed man." The little ant, you know, a lazy person, they mightn't be lazy about absolutely everything, but the context here is a person may be active in many other different ways, but lazy spiritually. Lazy in preparing for the future. lazy and fleeing from the wrath that is to come. Lazy. Doing nothing about it. And Solomon says, look at creeping things. See how they prepare. See how they gather into their nests. See how they hibernate for the winter cold months. But they have prepared for that. They're underground in their nests. And they have prepared for that. They're not going to starve to death. They have prepared for that. Consider her ways. And be wise. And you know something? He even spoke of fish. In Ecclesiastes again. In chapter 9 verses 11 and 12. For a man also does not know his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net. And as the birds. So there he brings fish and birds together. And as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. Facing dangers, but prepared for those dangers. As the fish are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare. So see how Solomon spoke on all of these things. He spoke about trees and about beasts and fowl and creeping things and of fishes. But as well as seeing his sayings and his songs and his studies, we must see his superior. Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here, because he also spoke of these things and applied lessons to them. He also spoke of trees. For example, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 43, and these will be scriptures that you are familiar with. Luke 6 and 43, for a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The Lord Jesus, the one who's more superior than Solomon, spoke about trees. By your fruit you shall know them. He spoke of trees. And we know that he spoke of animals. We are likened to sheep. In John chapter 10, we are his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. So the Lord Jesus spoke of animals. The Lord Jesus spoke of birds. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered? Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And those are Luke's account of the verses in Matthew chapter 10. And the Lord Jesus is simply telling us here that he will never forget any of his people. He never forgets a sparrow. And if he doesn't forget a sparrow, which we are of more value than many sparrows, He's not going to forget us. I have read that there are something like 9,000 species of birds in the world, with millions upon millions within each species, and God does not forget one of them. Verse 24 of Luke 12 says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls?" So if God does not forget any bird, He is not going to forget any believer, any of His children. The Lord Jesus spoke of birds. The Lord Jesus spoke of fish. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. And Matthew is the only one that records this parable. You'll not find this in Mark, Luke or John. The other several parables that are mentioned in chapter 13, you'll find them in the Gospels, like the parable of the sower and so on. But you'll not read of this parable again, the parable of the fish. Matthew 13 and 47. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. And angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And this must be one of the most solemn parables that the Lord Jesus ever spoke. And you can see the simple lesson here for us. We today are in the process where the kingdom of God is like. It has been likened to seed, different kinds of seed. But here it's likened to a fishing net. And of course some of the apostles would have certainly have understood this parable because they were fishermen. Not every fish that was caught in the net was going to be good. And the good was kept, maybe taken to the market, maybe sold and used for food. But the bad, they were just cast away, and be thrown back into the sea. So shall it be at the end of the world when Jesus comes. Humanity will be just divided into two groups of people: the saved and the lost. Those heaven bound, those hell bound. And there will be a severance. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And the wicked shall be cast into the furnace of fire. What a picture of hell. Where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What an awful picture that is of hell. And I glean from that verse, you know, hell must be a very noisy place. There will not be a moment's quietness in hell. And in this life we all love a wee bit of peace and quiet. Those two things will be absent from hell. There shall be wailing. A very noisy place. And I can picture it too as a very nasty place. Gnashing of teeth. And that gnashing of teeth is where you grit your teeth. Maybe in great anger, maybe something that has really angered you and you just gripped your teeth. And imagine that in hell too. Wailing, gnashing of teeth. Anger. Anger that they've never known before. Anger at themselves for being there. Anger at their sin. Anger at those who influenced them in sin. Anger at other people. Maybe someone who introduced them to drink, who introduced them to drugs, who introduced them to sexual immorality, who introduced them to crime and robbery and all different kinds of ways to steal. Gnashing of teeth. Anger. Jesus spoke of fish, just like Solomon. He spoke of trees. He spoke of beasts, sheep. He spoke of birds. He spoke of fish. His sayings, his songs, his studies, his superior. And we are here this morning, not because of Solomon. We're here because of a greater than Solomon, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May God bless them this another installment in the study of Solomon. Do we just conclude our service as usual with the singing of Psalm 90?